Welcome to this week's edition of The Headlines from CKUT's Community News Collective in Montreal, information that matters from our neighborhood to the world. Produced in collaboration with The Dominion. We are broadcasting from Montreal and rebroadcasting on stations throughout Canada and the U.S. These are the headlines for the week of February 9th. I'm David Koch.
And now for an update on the current public investigation into the death of 18-year-old Freddy Villanueva. Villanueva was shot and killed by police in a North Montreal parking lot last August. The public inquiry was ordered by the Montreal municipal government due to widespread public outrage last December when Crown prosecutors stated that no charges would be pressed against the officer who killed the teen. In Quebec, charges of police brutality are investigated by the Police Ethics Board, a body made up largely of former police officers. This structure has been criticized by groups such as the Collective Against Police Brutality. These groups claim that an autonomous body is needed to investigate police misconduct to ensure that citizen complaints are fairly dealt with. Inquiry proceedings expected to commence next week are likely to be delayed. The Villanueva family and several key witnesses threatened to boycott the process after the provincial government suddenly retracted their promise to cover the ballooning legal costs for several key witnesses. The Charest government will cover the legal fees of the Villanueva family, as well as those of all police officers involved in Freddy's death. However, they will no longer be covering the legal costs of several key witnesses, including the families of two other youths shot in the incident. Government officials informed lawyers last month that their clients would have their legal fees covered, only to discover last week that the government has retracted that promise, and the working class clients would be expected to cover the hefty fees themselves. According to Peter Georges Louis, the Villanueva family's lawyer, next month's proceedings will likely tilt in favor of the police if all available witnesses are unable to testify due to financial restraints. In the words of the Coalition Against Police Repression and Abuse, quote, the responsibility for the legal fees should not fall to the families of the victims, but rather to the government, which called for the Saint-Façon inquiry in the first place, end quote. Police brutality is not uncommon in Montreal, particularly for visible minorities such as Villanueva. Last July, Quebec's Human Rights Commission slammed the Montreal police for their excessive use of racial profiling when six white police officers drew guns after mistaking three black men for robbers, when in fact they were clearing out their garage. The Centre for Research Action on Race Relations states, quote, sadly, there are many black citizens in Montreal who are hassled or even killed by the police and receive no justice, which essentially means that full rights and freedoms for black people don't exist. Stop.
The Canadian Press reported last week that over 1,000 members of the RCMP, West Vancouver Police, and military were converging on Vancouver to carry out a training exercise in preparation for the 2010 Olympics. The Integrated Security Unit, or ISU, is in charge of policing during the Games. The U.S. military will also be involved in the security effort. According to Canadian Rear Admiral Tyrone Pyle, the U.S. will contribute vessels from the Navy and Coast Guard. The U.S. military will be involved in planning air and border security, in addition to the on-sea security. Assistant RCMP Commissioner Bud Mercer, the head of the ISU, insisted that there would be no U.S. soldiers on the ground during the Games, but confirmed that they would be in the air and waters along the BC coast. Security costs for the Olympics may be as high as $1 billion in Canadian dollars. Meanwhile, Federal Privacy Commissioner Jennifer Stoddart expressed concern over the balance between security and individual privacy rights, noting that closed-circuit security cameras remained in place after the 2004 Athens Games. Activist groups are also concerned about measures that may prevent them from protesting during the 2010 Games. The new City Council of Vancouver has asked the province for several amendments to the Vancouver Charter. One of these amendments would give the city power to remove graffiti and illegal signs with little or no public notice. Chris Shaw, a University of BC professor and founder of 2010 Watch, said that this could be used to prevent legitimate protest. BC Civil Liberties Executive Director David Ebby also wrote a letter to the mayor and council saying some of the proposed amendments, quote, raise serious concerns about the potential impact on individuals engaged in various forms of political speech or protest, end quote. Assistant RCMP Commissioner Bud Mercer said that police have been meeting with critics of the Games to discuss security plans. However, leaders of groups including the Olympic Resistance Network said that they have not been contacted by police. Harsha Walia, one of the leaders of the activist group, said, quote, "They want us to believe that Olympic security measures will respect the democratic rights of protesters, when the reality is the stark opposite. Such measures are intended to dissuade and repress Olympic opposition," Walia said. According to Mercer, it is unclear whether or not there will be designated protest sites during the Olympic Games. He described them as, quote, "a moving target."
Neighborhood groups in Vancouver's downtown east side carried out the second annual Poverty Olympics this past weekend. More than 350 people took part, either as participants or spectators. In events like housing hurdles, sweeping poverty aside curling, skating around poverty, and wrestling for community. Mascots Creepy the Cockroach, Itchy the Bedbug, and Chewy the Rat provided a playful and socially conscious alternative to the official Vancouver Olympic mascots. 2010's Olympic mascots, Kwachi, Miga, and Sumi, are characters based largely on culturally appropriated Coast Salish mythological creatures and are designed by a California-based design team. The government of British Columbia has estimated the cost of the Games at about $600 million, but a report by the Provincial Auditor General has put it at about $2.5 billion. The next Poverty Olympics will be timed to coincide with the 2010 Olympic Games.
A lawsuit has been filed against the Ontario Provincial Police by the father of a 14-year-old First Nations girl who the police tasered while she was jailed. According to the suit, the girl was not intoxicated, hysterical, excited, nor in any way did her behavior present a danger when she was tasered. 25 people have died after being tasered in Canada.
Manitoba's chief medical examiner says that staff at the Health Sciences Center in Winnipeg ignored multiple requests to treat Brian Sinclair, a homeless man in a wheelchair who died in the emergency department after waiting 34 hours to see a doctor in September. Sinclair was a 45-year-old double amputee who died of a treatable bladder infection. After viewing security tapes and interviewing hospital security staff, medical examiner Tambirija Balachandra said the security guards at the inner city hospital tried many times to call to attention the patient's urgent need of care. In addition, the video footage shows that an employee at the triage desk spoke to Mr. Sinclair. This recent evidence contradicts previous comments from the health officials that they did not know Sinclair needed medical care. According to the CBC, the Winnipeg Regional Health Authority, or WRHA, said Sinclair appeared never to have been assessed by a triage nurse and was not registered as a patient seeking care, so reassessment nurses did not know he was there for help. In response to the recent evidence, the WRHA apologized and stated in a press release they accept full responsibility for Sinclair's death. Meanwhile, yesterday, the WRHA Board of Directors stated their support for their two top officials, Brian Posty and Brock Wright. Last week, the medical examiner called for an inquest into Sinclair's death, but a date has not been set. According to the Winnipeg-based Siloam Mission, about 1,700 people are homeless in Winnipeg. As the mission opened a health clinic in 2007, Garth Reeser, the mission's chief operation officer, said, quote, "We find that so many of our patrons have so many challenges in accessing healthcare in the way that clinics or hospitals need them to," end quote.
On Friday, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, the UNRWA, serving more than half of the 1.5 million residents of the Gaza Strip, suspended humanitarian shipments to the region. The agency accused the Hamas government of confiscating UN material for the second time that week. Ahmed El Kurd, the Minister of Welfare in the Hamas government, said the supplies were taken by mistake. Quote, "It was a misunderstanding between drivers. We have told the UNRWA that they can come and pick up the shipment, but for some reason, they have not come yet." This comes only 3 weeks after a 22-day Israeli offensive in the coastal territory. About 1,300 Palestinians died in the conflict, which ended with a tenuous ceasefire. Thousands more were injured or left homeless. Although the UN shipments, including thousands of UN blankets, food parcels, and tons of rice and flour, were cut off last week, by Monday, John Ging, head of the United Nations relief operations in Gaza, said that Hamas officials had returned the cargo and UN officials had lifted its freeze.
On January 30th, the government of Norway announced that it had pulled a $200 million investment out of the Barrick Gold Corporation. The Norwegian finance minister said that Barrick is causing severe environmental damage at its Porgera mine in Papua New Guinea. The government's decision follows recommendations from the Council on Ethics for Norway's National Pension Fund, which invests surplus revenues from Norway's oil and gas industry. The Council on Ethics stated, quote, "Pollution from the Porgera mine will potentially have serious negative consequences for human life and health," end quote. The Porgera mine is owned by the Toronto-based Barrick Gold Corporation, the largest gold mining company in the world. A Barrick spokesperson disputed the criticism, saying, quote, "The mine follows a government-approved environmental management and monitoring program, and we continue to operate in full compliance with legal and other requirements," end quote. However, the Ottawa-based environmental group Mining Watch Canada has called the Porgera mine a horror show and called Norway's decision a well-deserved blow to Barrick Gold.
Dock workers belonging to the South African Transport and Allied Workers Union stood firm by their decision not to offload the Johanna Russ, a ship that was carrying Israeli goods to South Africa, arriving last Thursday. Despite threats from sections of the pro-Israeli lobby, and despite severe provocations, including the threat of using scab workers, the Congress of South African Trade Unions, COSATU, announced that workers remained resolute about their position to take determined, non-violent action against Israel and put an end to the apartheid system, following the recent massacres by the State of Israel in Gaza, which is oppressing the Palestinian people. A COSATU press release said, quote, "The momentum against apartheid Israel has become an irresistible force. We are proud to stand with the millions around the world who say enough is enough. Our workers are doing what we asked other workers to do when we faced the apartheid regime in our own country," unquote. Last week, Western Australian members of the Maritime Union of Australia resolved to support the campaign for boycotts, divestment, and sanctions against Israel, and have called for a boycott of all Israeli vessels and all vessels bearing goods arriving from or going to Israel.
Over 3,000 Zimbabweans have died from a cholera outbreak, and infection rates are approaching 70,000. 10 cents a day can save a life in Zimbabwe from the current outbreak. A saline solution is all that is needed. This was a message being shared Tuesday during a rally outside of McGill University. The rally was organized by STAMP, Students Taking a Stand for Medicine and Peace. The cholera crisis is occurring against a backdrop of political instability, with the ongoing uncertainty of a proposed national unity government that would see Robert Mugabe share power with opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai. Mugabe has been in power since 1980 and has repeatedly been accused of corruption, thuggery, and violence. STAMP member and McGill medical student Miral Salaski explained, quote, "Our focus is on medicine. It's pretty much an awareness campaign to fight cholera, which is spreading through Zimbabwe and even across neighboring borders," end quote. The group is also petitioning Stephen Harper to join the humanitarian response to the crisis. Donations are being collected by STAMP through various fundraising efforts. Money will go to Médecins Sans Frontières to provide immediate medical relief to Zimbabweans. Billick used a megaphone to tell the crowd that 80,000 lobsters had been ordered to celebrate President Mugabe's 85th birthday. He contrasted this with the meager cost of providing cholera treatment to the infected population. But McGill Political Science and International Development Studies student Zua Matondo warned about simplifying the problem. Matondo emphasized the importance of looking back and across time to understand the full scope of the problem and not relying on the Western media's depiction of the issue. He emphasized the role that the International Monetary Fund played in the 1990s with their structural adjustment plans, which helped set the stage for the current crisis by imposing land reforms and cuts to social spending. The future of Zimbabwe hangs in the balance. The international community rushes to respond to the humanitarian crisis, but nationals continue to be at the mercy of an ineffective government.
And those are the week's headlines. Our broadcasts are available for download every week at ckutnews.wordpress.com and at ckut.ca. And you can read more news from the grassroots at dominionpaper.ca. Thanks this week to our friends at the Dominion and our contributors Annabelle Koo, Lauren Liu, Juniper Belshaw, David Koch, Haley Lapom, and Tarek Jiriburkan of the CKUT Community News Collective. I'm host Chesley Walsh. To contact us, email headlines@ckut.ca or call 514-448-4041, extension 6788.